church, there's a lot to Joseph. You do a whole series for a long time on Joseph. But we're going to hone in on some of the truth there in 40, chapter 40 that we read, but also looking at the whole picture of his life. Some great truths that I think we see there. A few key lessons about walking by faith. Because we've got this theme of walking in faith, looking at Habakkuk in the morning, and this is a follow-up series. So I think we see some great truths and lessons about faith in uncertain times when we look at Joseph's life. Of course, there's a lot of truth about walking in faith and other truths in the whole story of Joseph. But as we hone in on 40 and look at the whole picture, now I think we see that. Now, Joseph is introduced to us as a 17-year-old, of course, in the whole story of Genesis, not in 40. Chapter 40 there. Favorite of his child, of his father, a favorite child. Jacob had several sons, but Joseph clearly was the favorite. We're told that because of the father's favoritism, it seems that was a part of the brother's hatred towards Joseph, towards their brother. And Joseph, we know, has the dream, where it's clear to him in that dream that a day will come when he'll have an influential position. He'll be a key leader in the nation, and his brothers will have to come and bow down before him. And of course, if you know the story, Joseph shares that with his brothers. It doesn't go the best. But there's obviously truth, if you know the whole story, to the dream. And then in their jealousy, if you remember the whole picture, his brothers plot to kill him, and they carry that out. They decide they're going to throw him into this big pit, well. And then a traveling caravan from Egypt, of these spice traders, come through. And instead of letting his body be there in that place, they don't want it too close to home, and they pull him out, and they set him off into slavery with this caravan, and he goes off to Egypt as a slave. Once he's in Egypt for a while, God is with him, of course, we know, if you know the story. And as a result, he's sold to a high official in Pharaoh's administration. And he moves up the ladder very quickly because the text keeps telling us, if you read the whole story in Genesis in 30 and 40, and you see that God is with him. And Potiphar quickly recognizes that he's got these skills in administration, and he's put in charge of Pharaoh's household. And not only is God with Joseph, but God has blessed Joseph with, it appears, good looks and charm. And temptation comes then. And that's when, if you know the story in the chapter before this, Mrs. Potiphar tries to seduce Joseph, draw him in. There's temptation. We know the story. On one occasion, Potiphar's wife jumps on Joseph, essentially grabs him. But because Joseph is so determined to live life God's way, he runs away, of course. He leaves his cloak behind. And she's standing there, left holding Joseph's cloak. But she's so angry at his rejection of her, she accuses Joseph of rape. Potiphar becomes enraged when he finds out. He has Joseph in prison. He's there for a number of years. And that's when we come to the particular part of Joseph's story that we read in Genesis 40. And we're looking at today. In this story in prison, Joseph meets two people who've been on staff, as it will, working for Pharaoh. One was a cupbearer that would bring his food to him. And also, these guys were kind of like secret service agents because they protect the Pharaoh from people trying to assassinate him, more than likely through poison, through wine or poisoned food. The other guy was a baker who actually would make the food. They had these responsibilities. And while they were there, they both had dreams, we see in the story. They don't understand what the dreams mean. God gives Joseph the ability to tell them about what these dreams are about. And after a short time, both of the men get out. We'll look at more of the details later on. But Joseph asks the cupbearer to remember him and help him when he gets out. But once he gets out, the last verse we read there in chapter 40, the cupbearer forgets about Joseph. Joseph stayed there another 2 years, from probably about 28 years old to about 30, and then comes to work more for Pharaoh after. Now, as we think about this for today, where is the connection to us today? How many of you in your Christian life have had some specific times, and if you haven't, you, of course, you will, you probably have, where you're going in one direction, it seems like what God wants to do in your life is kind of smooth sailing, and then suddenly a detour comes, a different direction. A curveball is thrown in life and what you thought God wanted, and you find yourself not just stopped, you're just going, it seems like, in the total opposite direction. Things change. Things seem so uncertain, and maybe you feel like you're not in that kind of time now, but you certainly will be if you're not in some respect at this point. So you might stow this sermon away for a later time and remember, but or maybe you can share it with somebody else, but in fact you might be going through some type of time like that, or you've just come through one, and that's how the story of Joseph intersects with our lives on the plane of today. I think one of the ways that it does. When life is uncertain, what do we do? Well, we contend the tendency can be to get very self-focused, have a pity party, to get bitter, frustrated, to seek revenge, especially people we know that aren't believers, but even Christians can be tempted to act this way at times, to find some way out of it. But we know that's not God's way, and it's not Joseph's response as we see the many uncertainties in life that he faced. Instead, there was faith in the uncertainties. And there's some key points, three I want to hone in on today, that are very simple, but based in the overall story of Joseph and some of the truth in chapter 40. Number one is, even in uncertain times, we've got to stay focused on the Lord, on God. You talk about a man who could have had a reason, you might say, to doubt God and all that he went through. Joseph, certainly, if you want to look at it from a human standpoint, could say he did. He might have had a reason to doubt what God was doing, but he didn't as a whole. It's interesting that Joseph could foresee the cupbearer and the baker, their future, but he wasn't able to predict his own time of release and see exactly what God was going to do and when, but he's waiting patiently. He's focused on God. He's trusting the Lord in uncertain times and resting on His promises and His timing. Joseph stays focused on God, and that means there's faithfulness that results in his relationship with God and how he lived. Why? Because I believe he grew over time to learn that God was with him, to sense God's presence, to know that God was leading him and directing him and bringing him up the ladder there in Egypt and helping him and giving him wisdom, and that he had a sense in believing in faith that God's watching over his life. He couldn't see how it all would work out, and there were certainly questions of why, I'm sure, running through Joseph's mind. But he grew in confidence over time as he focused on God. Joseph had been through so many ups and downs, taking one step forward, as we'd say, and two steps back. Sold into slavery by his brothers, as we said, falsely accused of rape, now in prison, even after he helped the cupbearer, and the cupbearer he thought would certainly help him, he didn't help him. This man totally forgot him. As the years go by, maybe Joseph started to wonder in his humanness, will I ever get out of here? Maybe this is God's will. Now, I was reading this story one time a while back about this guy who had passed away, and his wife wanted to put a little ad in the obituary column. Things made up, but so she called the paper and said, I'd like a $25 ad, and I would like the print to say, Bernie is dead. And the guy in the obituary department called back and said, ma'am, with the $25 ad, you get six words, actually. And so she called back and said, okay, I'd like it to say, Bernie is dead, Toyota for sale. Now, she was moving on, and this is the way people are in the world sometimes, aren't they? They let us down. We count on them. This is one of the lessons that we learned. The cupbearer had moved on, hadn't he? Like that lady. We can feel that way in life sometimes, can't we? What's the lesson? One of the things we learned, Joseph learned, is that ultimately we've got to stay focused on God, not other people. In times of uncertainty, not what other people can do for us, because they can let us down. That doesn't mean that we don't in any way rely on family and friends and Christians, of course, and our work. But Joseph had to learn in the school of hard knocks that many times people, circumstances will fall through and let us down. People will reject us, mistreat us, our feelings will get hurt, they will forget us, falsely accuse us, and the things, the people, the work we thought we could rely on, in the end, don't hold us up. But only God can, and God will. Stephen Davey said, we open ourselves for letdown when our fulfillment ultimately depends on someone other than God. When you put your trust in your own strength, your own abilities, your own ingenuity, Joseph had to learn a very hard lesson, but one I think God used in his life to mature him and help him get through times of uncertainty. It was what I believe the writer of Genesis is Moses. And I believe it's what's said there in Genesis over and over in the story of Joseph. It was the Lord that was with Joseph in all of this. Even in the one step forward and two steps back. God was with Joseph, allowing him to go through what he went through, to be enslaved even for a greater purpose. Not letting him stay enslaved, but working in him, maturing him, giving him a growing wisdom and discernment and ability and success as he rose up the ranks, becoming Potiphar's right-hand man. Genesis 39:21 sums it up really well. It says, while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden, and the warden put Joseph in charge of all those that were held in the prison. Even in the prison, he's walking with God, staying focused on God, it appears. God's growing him, deepening him. Joseph came to realize God was in control. Each moment, each day, each decision, we have to learn, as we see in Joseph, to walk by faith, even when it's uncertain. Joseph had success as a slave under Pharaoh. He's rising up the ranks, of course, because God was with him. Joseph had to realize that even in the difficult times, it was God that alone could give him strength and wisdom and protection, even in uncertainties. And I think this was the key again. I believe he grew in faith and confidence, sensing that God somehow would bring him through. He couldn't see how, but God was using him. God was with him. And sometimes, folks, it can be during the most uncertain times of life that when we feel like God's abandoned us, when Joseph felt like God had let him down, when he was there in Egypt, away from his family, that we realize God's with us in the greatest way, that he's developing us, that he's preparing us, that he can still use us. And the story right before us, we hinted at it earlier in chapter 39, this is the event that ended up landing Joseph in prison in chapter 40. Why is it that Joseph stayed strong as he did, pure sexually, when Potiphar's wife grabbed him, trying to seduce him? He didn't sin against God, as he said he wouldn't, or against Potiphar. Joseph stood strong, running from her, even though through his commitment, it ended him up in prison. Because through the ups and downs of life and prior to that temptation, he had learned to stay faithful to God and to stay focused on God, and that meant faithfulness to God. Somebody said this, it sums it up well. Little sins pave the way to big sins. It's true. But Joseph wasn't on that path. He learned faithfulness in what seemed like little things all along the way, and to trust God, to stay focused on God. It was faithfulness to God through the years of little things, serving God in Egypt, serving faithfully, working with Pharaoh, doing God's will as he was led, that developed the dependence in Joseph on God, a focus on the Lord that gave him to say strength, to say no to something that would have been difficult even for a young, godly man. Maybe no one would even have found out. But he served the Lord. So instead, Joseph stood his ground because he was focused on the Lord who was with him. And he aimed to please the one that was with him, the one that was leading him, the one that was giving him wisdom and using him for his will. The bottom line was, Joseph didn't want to sin against God. And that's what he said in chapter 39. No matter what the costs were, God had developed Joseph into a man of integrity, folks. That's what we need, perhaps more than anything else, in the times of uncertainty in our lives, is integrity. Focused on God, wanting to please Him, trusting He's directing us, and wanting to ultimately aim to please Him, regardless of what else will happen. Because a lot of times, folks, when there's uncertain times, we can't figure what God is doing, that's when it's easy to rationalize going off the rails. Sinning, our need for comfort and pleasure. The world tells us to take care of ourselves. And we might start to think, well, in that uncertain time, am I going to really be able to trust God in this? What's He going to do? Maybe I need to take care of this. Maybe I need to do it my way. And we can be tempted to sin. When things are up in the air and we're not sure what's going to happen, that's when we can be sometimes the most vulnerable to sin. Temptation. That's why we got to stay focused on God. What we see in Joseph's incredible model and what we need the most is for God to build integrity in us through our focus on Him, a as we realize more and more that He is in control of our lives, that He's most concerned about our responses in our circumstances, not our circumstances. What's our response? Are we living faithfully in whatever present situation we're in? Somebody said God's not interested in your circumstances as much as He is your response to circumstances. And it's hard sometimes, but we got to remember, even when we can't see it, God is working in us. And He alone can bring the strength and success we need for His glory and whatever we're going through. He can bring us, He alone can bring us through the trial stronger and wiser, better prepared for what's ahead. It's the old story, you might have heard of the old farmer's mule that fell in the dry well, you know. And the farmer heard the mule's bray and he realized what had happened. And he determined that neither the mule or this well was worth the trouble of saving. I guess it was a pretty big well and a heavy mule. Instead, he called his neighbors together, got them to help him bury the old mule. It's kind of a mean farmer, but nevertheless, put him out of his misery down in the hole, in the well. Well, the story says, made up again, that the old mule was very upset. As the dirt rained down on his back, that old mule had a thought. He decided every time a shovel of dirt would hit his back, boom, he would shake it off and step up. And that's what he did. As the dirt cascaded down the well, the old mule kept shaking it off and stepping up, shaking it off, stepping up. And after the hours went by, this now exhausted mule finally stepped over the wall of the well, and what was actually meant to bury him, the story teaches us, actually built him, delivered him. See, Joseph must have known God was with him more and more. God's working. He didn't understand why. He had his struggles, of course, his questions perhaps. But God would bring success because God, he had seen him do it before. Joseph had seen God do it before. And God has the ability, folks, to use us right where we are as individuals, as a church, delivering us through circumstances and trials, using even those things we don't understand as the next part of shaking it off and stepping up into the next thing that God has for us as individuals, as a Christian church, for His glory and honor. And our job, folks, though we can easily get tempted to do it, is to want to worry about it, try to fix it our way, try to change things, take matters in our own hands, take advantage of people for our gain. But we learn from Joseph to keep our focus on God, to live for Him. He knew the Lord was good, in charge of his success, and could use him. He had to stay focused on the Lord and be faithful. And that's what we've got to remember. We've got to remember God is working through what seems like ordinary things in our lives to bring about His ultimate purposes of salvation. And we see it in that story. It's a great picture of what God does in our lives, what we see that He did in Joseph's life. God is sovereign, and in His good purpose, He was orchestrating these events towards His sovereign will, moving Joseph exactly where He wanted to be, so Joseph would be prepared and placed into the top of the Egyptian government, prepared then in time to forgive and reconcile with his brothers, so that God's people, the Jews, eventually, if you know the whole story, were led out of the famine they were going to face into Egypt and saved as a part of the next stepping stone and part of God's plan as His people were slaves in Egypt. And then later on, you know the story, they're delivered out of slavery in the great act of the Old Testament, the Exodus. And it's a picture, as we look at the New Testament, of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Joseph is a type or a picture pointing us to Jesus, of our ultimate Savior, who in His grace came in His sufferings and came in perfection to forgive us and reconcile us to God the Father. Somebody said, only God and God will accomplish His ultimate purpose in your life. And we've got to trust Him. Somebody said this, God would teach Joseph that he would get out of prison, it would only be by God, by no one else. God had been with him, leading him, using him. He had seen it before, and God would be with him in this time, giving him wisdom and ability to do what God had called him to do. And even after all that had happened to Joseph, since he had first received the dreams as a kid, even after the enslavement and rise to power and false imprisonment, he's still growing. And that leads me to the second point. Not only stay focused on God in times of uncertainty, Number two, in certain uncertainty times, stay focused on what God is doing in you. What's the Lord doing in your life to build you? Kent Hughes said, there's another kind of sword, and that is the human life, he said, so shaped and honed and tempered by God through the fires of life that it becomes a mighty blade of deliverance and a daunting instrument of salvation. See, there are times in our lives, if you're a Christian, we seem to be in places of uncertainty. We're not sure what will happen next. Maybe a job, maybe our families, maybe our children, maybe in marriage. The fact is, those times when we're not sure what the future holds, we can have times like that when we're not sure, and it's not easy to deal with it. This is where Joseph often found himself, if you look at his whole story. Over the 13 years of ups and downs, from the time he was that 17-year-old, sold into slavery, until the time he rose to the height of Egyptian power. But here's the thing. It can actually be in those most uncertain times that we learn to depend on God the most, and he often can refine us the most in those uncertain times, preparing our characters for the future and using us in what he wants to do in the present. It's often those times. And folks, I don't pretend to understand where you may be or people in our church may be in uncertain times or situations now. Maybe now is a difficult or scary time for you. You say, I love the Lord, I want to serve him. Or you know somebody like this, but you're in that time of transition. Or you know somebody in a time of transition in a job, wondering what's next. Maybe it's a time of transition in how you relate to people in your family, your kids. Maybe you feel like you're in your own Egypt right now, like you're kind of in a metaphorical prison, and you don't understand how to get out. But remember this, and I've got to recall it as well. This is often when God's building us, working in us in the greatest ways, preparing for what's ahead. It might be in that time when you feel the most uncertain about your choices or your direction that you learn to lean on Christ the most. And that's what we got to communicate to those out there that might be struggling like this. This can be when we learn to trust him the most. This can be when people see us leaning on him in the greatest ways, in the most uncertain times. Don't get me wrong. It's not that God caused the sin that happened in the story of Joseph that led to these uncertain times. God's not ever the cause of sin, per se. He didn't cause the brother's jealousy or the bitterness of Potiphar's wife. He didn't make the cupbearer forget about his promise. But God is sovereignly in control of all the things we face in life. And I don't understand all that mystery, but I know God uses it in his true people to prepare us, to change us, to use us in the uncertain times as we're reminded that he's our rock, that he's at work, and he's got a clear purpose for every believer in Jesus Christ's life that nothing can thwart. Remember, though his brothers were wrong in their mistreatment of Joseph, when he was younger, you have to admit, it was a bit of an insensitive teen. We never know any of those, right? But God used the difficulties in Joseph's life as he grew and grew in confidence that God was working in him, softening him, teaching him to depend on the Lord, to stay focused on God and his work in him. And in the passage that we read, Genesis 40, we clearly see this development taking place. Joseph is maturing. He's growing in what God wants him to be. All God desires for him to be more and more, getting wiser, more sensitive towards people's needs, shrewder, able to serve the Lord even in difficult times, so that in the end, God will lift Joseph up in power as he's growing. And we see Joseph choosing in the end of the whole story to incredibly forgive his brothers, be reconciled, the entire nation, as I said, be brought into Egypt, saved from famine. Joseph, second in command in Egypt. As difficult as the times were, like the time in prison, Joseph being falsely accused, put in jail, it was a time God was using to build his character. Even a time in which maybe Joseph even was reflecting on what God wanted to do in his life. God used it as he thought about what God's will was, the plan. It's a time in which something very difficult was used to make Joseph even wiser, even stronger in the Lord, refined and sharpened for His will. As somebody said, God isn't going to work through us until He works in us. And that leads me to the third and final point. Not only stay focused on God and stay focused on what God is doing in you in the uncertain times, we grow in faith. Even in uncertain times, stay focused on what God can still do through you. He works, He's working, even in uncertain times. He's working in us. He works through us. The old saying is true in a sense that when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Now the thing is, God's the one who makes the lemonade, though. We don't make it. God makes it. And Joseph is the story of how God can and does work through people who are growing to trust Him. And then He works in the confines of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, even when they're uncertain. God will work in us and through us so that we'll make an impact right where God has put us, in the lives of people around us, in the situation that we don't feel the best about, in the present. As the old saying says, we can bloom where we're planted. And God works in us to work through us, and God can still do this even in the hardest times. You know, I think about Johnny Erickson Tata that I mentioned last week in a story, a paralyzed teenager, how God used her. She could have done differently, but she trusted the Lord. God used her in the trials. People like that amaze me. I think of another man who's a Christian speaker, David Green, in America, who has cerebral palsy. And as far as I know, he's still alive. God's used him. He could have been a victim, so to speak. But he trusted God. As one man said about David Green, this man with cerebral palsy, who is a speaker well known in some circles, he said, he overcame great adversity in faith, through faith, taking action and making an incredible impact through Christ. David Green didn't let the great confines of his situation stop him, but God worked in him and worked through him. I mean, Nick Vujicic, this Christian who wrote the book Life Without Limits, I believe he's a believer. I don't know all of his doctrine and where he is with all of that, but he's a Christian. He communicates the gospel. And this guy was born with only torso, mainly torso, no arms and legs. And yet God's used him all over the world and does incredible things. The Lord's used and worked through him. Now, in all of us, and with every one of us as Christians, we could say, okay, well, what can I not do because of the situation I'm in? How can God not use me? But they didn't do that. No, it appears they kept focused on God, what He was doing in them, what He could still do through them. And it's really, in a way, what the story of Joseph, some of it, is about. I don't know about you, but it's incredible when you think about the story of Joseph, that even in such a trial and all the ups and downs and roller coaster ride of faith that he went through, he kept focused on God, and God worked through him. And there was a growing faithfulness in Joseph to God that resulted in a growing faithfulness in the way he treated others. And that's always the way that it works. You can see it in all the story of Joseph when he was in Potiphar's service, when he would not give in to Potiphar's wife and sin against God or them, when he would serve the way that he did with Potiphar's workers. God was honing in him this character of integrity all the way along. And the dreams were true, no doubt about it. What he had seen as a teenager would that one day happen. But no longer is Joseph where he was before. God's changed him. God's honed him, prepared him. He used the time in Egypt to prepare Joseph for what was ahead, to make him into who he became. Ken Hughes said, this is how life works. You won't feel for those that are lonely until you've gone through some difficult times of loneliness. If you've never suffered depression, then you might suggest to somebody who suffers with it, they ought to go shopping. That's what he said, but that's not right. 2 Corinthians 1 says, it says that God comforts us that we might comfort those with the comfort that we ourselves have received from the Lord. It can be our most frustrating experiences that God uses us in being able to share the gospel, to share His love, and to build into other people's lives. It's actually when the focus gets taken off of ourselves and more onto what God is doing in the lives of those around us in the situation we're in, even in the uncertainty, that God will use us the most. Look at verse 7 there in chapter 40. Joseph asked the cupbearer and the baker, "Now, why do you look so sad?" Now, if you were the cupbearer or the baker, how would you have responded? "Well, Joseph, do you know where we are? This isn't the happiest place in the world. We're in prison." But God is working through Joseph. The fact is, they were probably upset, obviously, about what was coming. These men were in charge of the quality and purity of the Pharaoh's food. More than likely, they had been accused of an attempt to kill the Pharaoh. And that's why they were there. They were worried of their future, the baker and cupbearer. And they had these dreams very similar to one another, and they didn't have their magicians to interpret it, and they were afraid. But the point is this. Joseph didn't focus on the uncertainties, it seems. The whys of taking a step forward and two steps back. He was focused on God, I believe. As you see there, God was with him. He focused on what God was doing through him. In that moment, Joseph was called to care for the prisoners. He took it seriously. He trusted God. And it seems that even in that time of uncertainty, he sought to point them to what God alone could do. Verse 8. He trusted the Lord and told them, "Dreams and interpretations only belong to the Lord." I mean, if you're in a prison, and are you going to notice the prisoner's facial expression, perhaps, in this situation? But there's a sensitivity there. Joseph, he sees what is going on, it seems. Joseph asks them, "What's happening?" They open up to him. He tells them, "God has given the dreams. Only God can give the answer." Even, of course, though we know one of them would not like the answer a whole lot. The baker. But the point is this, Joseph was focused on what God could do through him in the moment, even of the uncertainty. He stayed focused on God working in him and through him for his glory. Can you imagine if Joseph had said, "Look, guys, the last thing you want to do is have a dream. I had a couple of my own, and guess what happened?" But of course, Joseph didn't say that. No, because Joseph knew God was with him. He had that sense. He had dreamed, and God was working through it. It's like the old story you probably heard before of the little boy on the beach, and all the starfish are there, and they're going to die because they've washed up on the ocean. They won't be able to get back into the water. And he goes along, and he starts picking them up and throwing them one by one into the water. And a guy comes by and notices this boy throwing all these starfish back in, or trying to. And the old guy says, "Well, son, you're never going to be able to save all those starfish." And about that time, the little boy picks up a couple more and says, "Well, I just saved those." And he throws them back. God has us in the purpose that we're in to be used. And we might feel we're in a metaphorical prison. And we look around like Joseph must have. But we realize more and more as we look around that there are others around us hurting that don't have the faith that we have. That don't know the God that we know. It seemed Joseph had that sense. God was working through him. God was giving him wisdom. God could use him to serve. And God could use him even to point these people to the greatness of God. Even though Joseph, of course, didn't understand all the things we know, having the whole Bible and knowing Jesus has come and looking back on everything. But somebody said this as we close. We don't make our opportunities, but they said, I would say we often can miss our opportunities. The ones that God, by his grace and providence, puts in our lives. Somebody said, our ship comes in, but we're on the dock fishing. We need to learn to trust the Lord, be sensitive to what he wants to do in our lives. Instead of grumbling, it's easy sometimes in the difficulties we face, whatever the trial is, the situation you're in. We can want to quit, or we can be and learn from Joseph's example to keep our eyes on God in the ups and downs and stay focused. And know what God can do in us and through us. We can get discouraged, can't we, in our particular times of trials. We can feel there's no way that God can use us in whatever situation we're in. I mean, imagine how Joseph must have felt and struggled with at times. I'm trying to serve you, Lord. But look, I just keep going up and down on this roller coaster.
dead, and God used him, and God raised him up, and God brought him to where he wanted him to be. And I believe it's because he was growing to know God's presence and power with him, that he could trust the Lord. Even in the times of uncertainty, God was working through Joseph. God was using Joseph and building Joseph. And God will do this in the true believer's life today, folks. As we close, maybe we were in difficulties in that trial time or transition time. We're not sure how God's going to work things out in our relationships, whatever it is. And we've got to continue to trust Him and look to Him and be used by Him where He has us. And as I said, as we close, we think about Jesus Christ. Again, Joseph is a type, ultimately pointing us to Christ. It's a picture of the greatest reality of the Savior who suffered for us and all He went through, but He never sinned. But He came to live in our place, to go through the ups and downs of this life, and as the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin and rise in perfect power and glory. And by His grace, just as we see the story of Joseph, there's forgiveness to the brothers. There's reconciliation. Jesus fulfills that in the ultimate way as we are brought by faith through grace, by grace through faith, into perfect reconciliation with God the Father, into the family of the Lord. So let's look to Him now as we close. Let's pray.